Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. This is a special one. You are absolutely in for a wild ride. You are about to listen to a gentleman named Rory Vaden. Now, if you sound familiar and you're like, gosh, what city is he a real estate agent in? He isn't. He is a best-selling author several times over. He wrote Procrastinate on Purpose and Take the Stairs. He also is the brand designer, and I would say in some ways brand architect, for names that are synonymous with podcast brilliance. I'm talking Ed Mylett. I'm talking Molly Fletcher. I'm talking YouTube sensation Cody Sanchez. You are about to hear from the man who builds the brands for the people that have the biggest brands on how to build yours. We are going to unpack every single thing that we can in the time that we have about personal branding and how real estate agents need to think about building their brand. Friends, this is Rory Vaden. Rory, how are you, sir?
Jason, it's good to be with you. It's good to be back with you, my friend. I had such a blast at family reunion. Come on.
Dude, we loved having you. You're a unique guy because you've written books that literally have changed the lives of the people listening.
Man, I love that. I'm so grateful for you all. I feel lucky to be a part of your community and privileged and honored. And so, yeah, I mean, let's light it up. What can we do today?
Well, nobody wakes up in life and just becomes a New York Times bestselling author a bunch of times. Give me a little bit of your journey, man. Take a few minutes. We're all going to sit back. Right now, half the audience is driving a car. The other half is they're jogging. Tell us a little bit about how we got here today.
You know, I was raised by a single mom, and my mom sold Mary Kay Cosmetics. So I grew up very low income. We were on food stamps. We lived in a trailer park. My mom had had two kids and had been divorced twice by the time she was 23. So she got pregnant when she was 17 and had my brother and then divorced his father like 3 years later and then met my biological father, had me. And then basically like a year after I was born, my biological father was gone, right? So we grew up with a lot of love and a lot of faith, but not a lot of money. But my mom, you know, I used to go to, she would drag me to these Mary Kay meetings and they were talking about goals and time management and like leadership and productivity and positive self-talk. And I learned early on about the principles of success. And when I was 5, my mom put me in martial arts. I started studying martial arts. She basically said, she said, look, you're going to be the first in our family to go to college and you're going to have to get a full ride scholarship because I'll never be able to afford it.
No pressure.
And she basically said, look, all I wanted in life, literally in the beginning, all I wanted was boxed cereal because our cereal was in bags. And we bought the bags on the bottom shelf and our cereal was always stale. I wanted boxed cereal and I wanted Air Jordans and we couldn't afford Air Jordans. So I got Air Jordash. If you remember like famous footwear, Jordash was like, that was what I grew up wearing, right? And so I wanted to know, why didn't we have money? And my mom said, well, we don't have money, right? She's like, you're going to have to work hard and you're going to have to go to school and you're going to have to figure it out. And so I really started studying successful people from the time I was very young. Then when I was in middle school, I was at sixth grade at Platt Middle School, PMS, true story. I went to PMS for middle school and this speaker walks in and this guy told this horrible story about getting into drugs and his brother got murdered. He went to prison and all of his friends were in jail and he was involved in gangs, but he was actually really funny and inspiring. And basically the point of this story was he said, don't do what I did. Don't make bad choices, right? Make good choices. That was the first time I thought, man, what a cool job this guy has to like come be a speaker. And I also thought to myself, what would happen if you made good choices your whole life? Like, I wonder what the trajectory, I didn't know that was what the word was, but at that age, I literally remember thinking, I wonder what the trajectory of your life would look like if you made good choices and it compounded over time.
There are people like you and Gary Keller that talk about their experiences growing up and they say, and I had this epiphany, or I started thinking about, like what you just said, I started thinking about what would happen in my life if I only made good choices. I don't think I had an intelligent thought until my late 20s. It blows me away when y'all say that. You're a journeyer is what you're saying. From early on, you were journeying and you knew you didn't like where you were. You were heading somewhere else.
And I'm a student. And it's funny now because obviously we'll get to the story about Brand Builders Group and how we're a personal brand strategy firm. And we coach many of the people you guys have had at your events, right? Ed Milette, you had Molly Fletcher. She's a client. You had Cody Sanchez, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, right? John Maxwell is a private client of ours right now. And Eric Thomas, the hip hop preacher. Like, we coach a lot of the biggest personal brands in the world. But one of the things is, I think before you can be a great teacher, you have to be a great student. If I had to bottle, you know, my whole life's work, I would say I study the psychology of influence. I would define influence as the ability to inspire someone to overcome procrastination and take action. And there's four levels of influence that I study. So level one is influencing yourself.
But before you get into it, everybody out there, don't drive off a bridge embankment right now. Don't try to pull across four lanes of traffic to get to where you can write this down. I'm taking all the notes for you. If you go to mreanotes.com, put in your name and email, you'll get all the notes for this and every other podcast episode. It comes out on Thursday. So don't crash the car. Okay, Rory, give it to us.
Yeah. So level one influence is influencing yourself. And so my first book, Take the Stairs, is all about the psychology of overcoming procrastination, increasing self-discipline. That's what I've made my career on. The Be the Buffalo story, like I wrote that story. That was one of my flagship pieces of my early work, was really level one influence. Level two influence, I would define as influencing another person to take action. So this is one-on-one influence. That would be sales. We started a sales training company in 2006. Myself, a guy that I met in college, his best friend, and one other gentleman. And we had a sales training company. We grew that to eight figures. We had 200 people on our team. We sold that in 2018. The guy's friend, my buddy that I met in college, his best friend was a girl named Amanda. Her and I ended up falling in love, getting married. And then when we sold our first company, we started Brand Builders Group in 2018. But we did sales training for years. When I was in college, I went door to door, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week on straight commission. Had to knock on doors to find a place to live, you know, away from home, and you know, really learned sales going door to door. And then we built a sales training company. And that's level two influence, which is influencing another person. Level three influence is influencing a small group of people to take action. Another word for that would be leadership. And that is motivating a small group of people. And that a lot of the keynote speaking that I did for my career was around that. And then level four influence is influencing a community, creating a mass movement. So level one influence, the term would be personal development. You're influencing yourself. Level two influence is sales. Level three influence is leadership. And level four influence is what Brand Builders Group specializes in today, which is personal branding. Personal brand strategy is going, how do I create millions of followers? How do I create thousands and tens of thousands of book sales or opt-ins? Or how do I create, you know, for real estate agents, it's how do I own an entire market? How do I become the person that everybody thinks about when they think of buying, selling, investing, renting, whatever your vertical is, in whatever geography region you want to be known for?
And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So the way that this show actually came into existence, Rory is a mentor of mine and he's a coach of mine. And so y'all are going to actually sit in on kind of one of our coaching sessions. And the question is, how do I become a level 4 influencer in my marketplace, Rory, as a real estate agent?
One part of that to know is that I think that a strong personal brand needs to first be preceded by a strong personal character. And so it does go all the way back to that level 1 influence of like what we talk about in Take the Stairs is you have to be someone who has the self-discipline to do the things you say you're going to do. You have to do things even when you don't feel like doing them, which is the metaphor of Take the Stairs in the Take the Stairs book. You have to be somebody who will do what other people aren't willing to do.
Why though? Why can't I skip that part, Rory, and just go into the driving the Bentley part?
Because your influence will never grow wider than your character runs deep. What happened is it would implode. And here's the example, right? Think of Bill Cosby, right? Think of the Tiger Woods fiascos. Think of the whatever, like you can take Harvey Weinstein. You can take people who had massive influence, but it was wider than their character was deep. And ultimately what happens is an implosion. Sooner or later, you can't hold up the house of cards. At Brand Builders Group, we talk about personal branding. And people errantly think of personal branding as like logos and colors and social media and funnels. And those are pieces of it. But we define personal branding as simply the digitization of your reputation.
Wow.
And when you think of it as just reputation, all of a sudden it doesn't seem as new anymore. And that's what we want. We don't want people to be intimidated by like, oh, I don't know how to post on TikTok and I don't know what the right microphone is to use for a podcast. That stuff is all trivial. The part that matters is going, this is not a new conversation. This is an old conversation in a new medium. And reputation, like people think, oh, I have a revenue problem. I'm not making enough money. The truth is reputation precedes revenue. If you have a revenue problem, what you really have is a reputation problem. Either you don't have a good enough reputation, which is a matter of character and what we would say results. So the reputation formula is results times reach equals reputation. So results is, what is your expertise? What is your personal character? How much market knowledge do you have? How much do you actually know about your industry? How much are you an expert? And how much also do you have personal character, right? That's what your results are. And most of us wish and many times kind of hope that that is the main driver of how business should be done. And I kind of wish it was that way. But unfortunately, reach is at least half the equation. Here's an illustration, right? Is if I asked you, I said, who is Michael Phelps? Pretty much everybody would know, right? You go, oh, Michael Phelps, he's a swimmer. He's from the US. He's one of the winningest gold medal Olympians of all time. And in fact, he is the winningest gold medal Olympian of all time. But then if I said, do you know who Jenny Thompson is? Not a trick question, same context. Who is Jenny Thompson? Almost nobody knows who Jenny Thompson is. So Jenny Thompson is the winningest female Olympian of all time, gold medalist.
Oh my God, I kind of feel like an ass now, Rory. I had no idea who that was.
It gets worse because she is also from the United States and she is also a swimmer.
Oy.
So when you look at their results, right, they're comparable. When you look at their expertise, when you look at their skill, when you look at their discipline, you look at their integrity, at the world's biggest stage, they are comparable side by side. But when you look at their reach, for whatever reason, neither of them are a client of ours, so I don't know the story, but their reach is massively different. And this is where a lot of realtors struggle because they go, well, I'm the best. I've been doing this the longest. I know the most about this. People should use me. And unfortunately, I wish that's how it was. I wish we lived in a world where the best ideas won. I wish we lived in a world where the people with the most integrity won. I wish we lived in a world where the quality people got the quantity of the business, but we don't. We live in a world where the people with the most sophisticated marketing systems win. We live in a world where whoever has the attention gets the most quantity of customers. We live in this world where reach matters as much as your results. And what happens is a lot of people go, well, I don't want to do social media. I don't want to learn that new thing. I don't want to be vain. I don't want to like whatever. And what ends up happening is they become the world's best kept secret.
Wow.
And you don't want to be the world's best kept secret. That's not an honoring label. What the world's best kept secret to me is that is a devastating and destructive misuse of your talents and your divine gifts. Because, I mean, think about this. If I had the cure for cancer and nobody knew that I had it and I didn't tell anybody about it, what service is it to the world? It's not, right? Like if I have the cure for cancer, I keep it a secret. And that's the problem. And so a lot of who we serve at Brand Builders Group are people who identify as mission-driven messengers. And in many ways, they feel like the world's best kept secret. They feel like they've put in their dues, they've paid their time, they've gone through the ranks, they've studied. And what happens is their business isn't growing at the speed of other people they see. And they go, well, like, why is this person on TV? And why is this person having this success? And it's because they haven't put as much energy into marketing and as much into branding and personal branding. Part of it is they don't want to be vain. And they go, well, I don't want to be a personal brand because I don't care about being famous. I care about helping people. And the thing you got to realize is your personal brand is not about you. It is about the person and the people that you are meant to serve. And if people don't know about you, they can't do business with you. And if they don't know about you, you can't impact their life. If they don't know about you, you can't help them. And so this is not a journey of vanity. It's not a journey of just going, how do I go viral? How do I get lots of followers? You know, you can point and dance and do trending things to get lots of followers. But this is not about that. This is about serving people, building your audience, demonstrating your expertise and your credibility in a way that leads to actual business. But a lot of it is a switch that needs to be flipped in the brain to go, reach does matter, reputation matters, and I might have to adapt, I might have to adjust, I might have to embrace a new way and a new set of tactics to extend my reputation into a personal brand.
See, that makes so much sense to me because I'm thinking about, and it's a really simple framework, results times reach equals reputation. Because you have some group out there and they're thinking, I know more than that person. And yet that person went viral. Like I literally see that person daily.
So frustrating.
It's so frustrating. So walk me through this. If I'm now a believer, and now I've pulled the car over, by the way, Rory, I'm now interested and you have won me. I'm a believer now. I want reach. And I know you can't solve my reach problem today. And by the way, to the audience, Rory's been helping me solve it for a long time. I'm telling you, he's the guy to help solve this. How do I start to think about solving it? Give me a framework that I can go do. I can wake up tomorrow and start to change my life.
The best piece of personal branding advice I've ever received, and this is not a Rory Vaden quote. I wish that it was, but it's not. It came from a gentleman named Larry Wingate. And I heard Larry speak when I was very young in my career. And this is what Larry said. He said, the goal is to find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. And the moment I heard that, I was like, gosh, that is it. That's what this is about. That's what this journey is. But Larry wasn't in the business of teaching people how to do that, right? He was just a speaker. He figured out how to do it for himself, but he wasn't really like teaching other people. And so when we started Brand Builders Group, it was like, let's create the process to help people find their uniqueness. And so we created a 6-question framework that is called the Brand DNA Helix. And if you answer these 6 questions, and normally when we work with somebody, we actually have 14 different 2-day experiences, makes up our whole curriculum. But the very first one is called Finding Your Brand DNA. And it's just this part, just this framework. And it's basically going, we ask these 6 questions, we can run through them, but we kind of brainstorm the answers, or the messenger, whoever we're working with, our client, we call them messengers. They're answering these. And if you answered all of these 6 questions and brainstormed them, at the intersection or the overlap of all 6 is where your uniqueness lives. So, question number 1, which is the genesis of where personal branding begins, and it is the simple question that needs to be answered in one word. But most people cannot answer this one question in one word, and so everything starts to fall apart from here. And the first question is, what problem do you solve? In one word. Most people cannot articulate the answer to that question. And if you can't articulate the answer to that question, that's a real problem, right? And this is, if you look in a world, in your industry, there's a lot of change, right? And if you go, okay, why should I pay you this commission? Like, what is the value that you provide to me? How are you adding value to the equation? We have to be clear and equipped to be able to articulate the answer to that. in your unique way related to your unique expertise, your unique market. So what problem do you solve in one word?
It gets real hard the minute you say one word. Give me an example. Make this real for my audience.
Yeah. So I'll give you some examples that everyone can relate with, right? Dave Ramsey, right? Love him or hate him. I happen to love Dave Ramsey. He changed my life. Dave Ramsey owns the word debt. You cannot talk about debt and not talk about Dave Ramsey. And he has built a multi-9-figure annual business saying the same things for 3 hours on the radio every day for 30 years. It's the same 7 baby step formula. Debt is dumb. Cash is king. Like, and that's his whole thing, right? Cut up the credit card guy. He owns debt. He owns it. Give you a female example, Brené Brown. Brené Brown never set out to become one of Time's most influential people in the world, I don't think. Brené Brown is a researcher, right? She's a professor at the University of Houston. She dedicated her life to studying shame. Brené Brown owns the word shame. You can't talk about shame without somebody mentioning Brené Brown. They own those conversations, right? Tony Robbins dedicated his life to freeing people from pain, right? He was at family reunion that I spoke at. I broke through the wall originally with procrastination. My first 2 books were about how to overcome procrastination, how to multiply time. That's how I broke through the wall. So Brand Builders Group is a great example. We've gone from 0 to 8 figures in 5 years, no investors, no debt, and started completely on scratch with no list. When we sold our last company, like, all our social media was gone, our email list, all of our employees, the whole thing started over. How do we do that? Well, we solve one problem in our whole company, obscurity. Obscurity is the problem that we solve for people. If you want to become more wealthy and well-known, you want to break free from obscurity, we're the people on this one thing.
This is genius. The examples really brought it home for me. I totally get what you mean now, one word, and why. Because I was thinking that you were just kind of being a jerk about it and maybe my 3 words were going to be good. The power of this is forcing it to one word.
Yeah, it is. It's really driving it down for your internal team to be clear, for you to be clear, for your marketing to be clear, for you to be able to articulate, like, what is the problem I'm helping people solve? So we got to figure that out. The second question in Brand DNA Helix is, what am I passionate about? What fires me up? What gets me excited? And not just sunshine and rainbows version of passion, but also, what pisses you off? What breaks your heart? What makes you cry? Which part of this industry or your profession, right, your trade, would you spend time learning about and reading about on a Saturday afternoon just because it's fun? And some of you will have a heart for certain things, first-time homebuyers, military families, investors, right? Like, whatever it is. But your passion is a hint to your uniqueness. For us, we believe that the things you're passionate about are not an accident. And even though you think everybody's passionate about it, they're not. The things that fire you up are part of God's divine design of your humanity. You are wired in that way. And the artistic side of what we do is teaching you and helping you identify and listen to, man, I am drawn towards this, and to lean into that. Then question number 3 and number 4 have to do with who we're going to serve. So question number 3 is, what do you have results in? What area do you have natural momentum in? Question number 4 is, what do you research? What do you have academic head knowledge of is research. And then what have you actually done is results. We have now helped 32 people become Wall Street Journal, New York Times, or USA Today bestselling authors. We have helped 6 people create TED Talks that have gone viral with over 1 million views. We have helped 9 people grow their annual revenue more than $1 million a year just with their personal brand. We have results, and we've done those things. Me and AJ and our team, we've done those things. We have the research and we have the results. You can try to compete with us. You're probably not going to do that well, though, because we've walked the freaking path. And this is where the secret lies. You know, Simon Sinek, I'm a huge Simon Sinek fan. Simon Sinek famously says, start with why for companies. When it comes to your personal brand, I would challenge that and say, don't start with why. Start with who. Who do you serve? The sooner you get clear on who you serve every single other downstream decision suddenly becomes clearer.
Is it fair for a real estate professional to say, I serve everyone that lives in these 7 zip codes? Or do you want them to get even more specific than that?
The more specific, the more terrific.
Okay, stop the tape. As soon as somebody starts rhyming, I have to jump in because I'm in the lab with a pen and a pad and I'm trying to keep up. Do you hear what he said? More specific is more terrific. I'm not going to get pithy and talk to you about limericks. Here's what I am going to say. As you listen to Rory, you know what you're going to notice? That every big idea that he has, he's able to simplify. And every simplified idea gets a really catchy name or a rhyme. Now, why does he do that? He does that because that's how people think and remember things. And I want to challenge everybody out there to think about your real estate business the same way. Gary and Jay Papasan told me that if you go and you document everything that you do, literally the workflows for your business, and you decide which pieces of that business actually produce the core result that you're trying to get for your consumers, then you are 90% of the way to having a brand name around a MOFR. And again, a MOFR is make offer for immediate response, meaning it's not just that Jason sells houses, but it could be the Jason home sale system. What's the thing that you're doing that needs a rhyme? What's the thing that you're doing that needs a name that you can trademark? What's the thing that you're doing that you can explain as simplistically as Rory explains the big ideas that he is? That is the question.
And here's the thing. So specificity and focus here. At Family Reunion, I actually showed a picture of something that we call Sheehan's Wall. And so Sheehan's Wall is a visual that we named after a gentleman named Peter Sheehan. So he created this concept originally. We've adapted it and applied it to personal brands. And so we named it after him. But basically, in any market, any industry, any vertical, there's two types of people. There are those who are unknown. They're struggling with obscurity. And then there are those who are well-known. They have notoriety, right? They have some level of fame. The problem is everyone who is living on the unknown or the obscurity side of the wall, they look at all the people on the other side of the wall who are well-known and who have notoriety, and they try to emulate them, right? So you look at Tony Robbins and you go, oh, Tony Robbins talks about money and he talks about health and he talks about date with destiny and personal relationships and all these different things. Or Gary Vaynerchuk talks about wine and sports and music and da-da-da-da-da. And people have too many topics. And then they go, they're addressing too many audiences. Like, oh, I want to talk to my friends from high school, but you know, grandma's watching, so I want to post like pictures of the kids. And then I'm trying to attract first-time homebuyers, but also I would like some investors in my portfolio. And my team is also tuning in and they're like trying to address too many audiences. Then they're doing like too many different business models, too many platforms, right? Like I'm trying to do Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and podcast and X and like Pinterest and good luck, right? And so what happens is, they bounce off the wall because this is one of our most deeply held values and beliefs and strategies. When you have diluted focus, you get diluted results, period. Diluted focus, diluted results, especially if you're a small enterprise. Now, once you're Jason Abrams and you've got a team and you've got some resources and you've got some influence and some relationships, somebody has to focus. And the way to break through the wall is to find your uniqueness, find the one audience that you can serve, the one problem that you solve for them, the one monetization stream that matters, and have one core message that you preach to those people over and over and over and over. And it's literally like if you were hitting a wall, rather than swinging a sledgehammer at all different places on the wall, you would hit the same spot again and again and again. And eventually it would chip, then it would carve a little hole. Then you would kind of like create a big divot. And then sooner or later, you break through the wall. And once you break through the wall in that one spot, you can reach through and pull the whole wall down. Early on, the more specific, the more terrific, the more you can occupy. And there's four different one things we try to get people clear on in the first 2-day experience. One is, what problem do you solve in one word? Who do you solve that problem for in one phrase? How do you solve that problem in one sentence? And what's the one revenue stream above all others that matters, that everything else is going to be subservient to?
You know, I know this guy who wrote this book called The One Thing. I know this guy. You'd love him, Rory, by the way.
Exactly.
And you're getting to know him pretty well right now, but man, it lines up. Gary, and by the way, if you're new to the show, when we talk about Gary, it's Gary Keller. He wrote the book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, with Jay Papasan, who's a brilliant writer, and Dave Jenks, may he rest in peace. And Gary always says, that I'm no smarter than you. I have no more talent than you. I'm just a hell of a lot more focused than you are. And I've been more focused than you are my entire life. Mm-hmm. And every time he says that, you're hit with this thing because all of us, Rory, we're given the same number of hours in a day, yet some people get so much out of that time.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what Gary is, classic multiplier, right? Understands diluted focus, diluted results. Super example of that. My TED talk that went viral called How to Multiply Time, it was based on my second book, Procrastinating on Purpose, 5 Permissions to Multiply Time. And we talk about the significance calculation and what separates multipliers from everyone else. Most people think about urgency and importance, which came from Dr. Covey's book, and where they're prioritizing their activities based on how much does it matter and urgency, how soon does it matter. But multipliers subconsciously make a third calculation, which we call the significance calculation. And the significance calculation changes everything because it's not how much does it matter and it's not how soon does it matter. It's how long is this going to matter? In other words, what is the impact of this one activity on tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? And so the premise of that whole book and the TED Talk, obviously is free, you can watch it, is the way you multiply time is simple. I can teach you how to create more time in one sentence. And this fries people's brain, right? Because they go, no, time is the one thing you can never get more of. And it's not true. It is a complete lie. And that is an example of a limiting belief that people hang on to that holds them back. Now, it is true. There's nothing I can do to create more time inside of one day. We all have the same 24 hours, which is 1,440 minutes or 86,400 seconds. But that's exactly the problem. Most of us think about time in the context of one day, going, what's the most important thing I have to do today? But that's not how multipliers think. They think about what is the impact of this activity on tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And so the way you multiply time in one sentence, just to say it, is by giving yourself the emotional permission to spend time on things today that create more time tomorrow. A personal brand is a good example of one of those things. Most of the things that multiply your time, I think almost all of them, well, one of the five does not, but many of the things that multiply your time cost you time today, very much like an investment, right? Instead of spending your money, you don't get to spend it. You have to give it up. You have to invest it. But over time, they multiply time. So for example, when I create a video, right? Let's say I create a blog post. If I create a podcast article, a YouTube video, even a short form video, each video that I create is like a soldier in my army. What we're doing is we're automating trust. And this is the power of personal branding, is I'm automating trust at scale. When you do this right and you have clarity about the audience you're serving and the way you do it and the systems, and I'm automating trust, right? Like, if you and I were just having this conversation one-on-one, hopefully I'm impacting you. Amplifying it through the podcast, I'm having this conversation effectively one-on-one with however many people are listening, right? Now, it's still taking an hour out of my day for which I may see no immediate return, right? Of whatever that would be. But you're investing this time and it's multiplying. And that's the power of a personal brand. And so we're combining many of the concepts. That's all like level 3 influence, is multiplying time and working with a team. But there's a convergence here of the various ideas that we teach. If you can figure out, I mean, these 4-1 things, coming back to Gary, right? He's a classic example of a multiplier. He's also a classic example of building a personal brand. Think about how Gary built Keller Williams. This blew my mind when we did our pre-event call together, because he was like, I absolutely want every one of my agents to go build a personal brand. Originally, he hired me to talk about how to multiply time. That's like what we just were talking about a second ago. And I thought that's what the talk I was going to do. And he's like, no, 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 no. He said, if we've hired your clients, Ed Milet, Molly Fletcher, like to speak at our event, and all of these people are your clients, I want to know, how the heck did you do that? And I said, well, I'm happy to teach them, but don't you want the agents to like build the Keller Williams brand? And he said, no. He said, if you don't own your personal brand, you don't own your business. He said, now, legally, they have to disclose Keller Williams in certain ways in certain places. But he's saying, that's not what I did. I built a personal brand. He was on the radio, which would be a podcast today, right? He was out doing presentations, which would be webinars. Like, he was doing giving away CDs, which would be PDF like lead magnets. Like, he was writing books, which still exists today, right? He was doing all of these things to add value, to build trust. And this is the thing that people have to understand. Whether it's real estate or selling battleships or anything else, trust must take place before there's a transaction. And building a personal brand allows me to automate trust at scale. And that is what it creates, this exponential growth of my trust score with the world and the number of people who trust me. And that's what we're trying to do. So you have to apply these to real estate. First of all, we try to get clear on what problem do we solve and then who do we solve it for. And I'll give you the shortcut, by the way. So I'll give you the shortcut to all six because we're probably not going to get to all six in the time we have. But
I can already see where this is going, which is right after you encapsulate this thing, we got to tell everybody where they can go to get this kind of education and how they can show up for you so they can leave understanding this. But we're also, and I'm doing this live on the air for a reason, we need you to come back, dude. I know you said you would do one, but what if we asked everybody to try to go answer these questions? And then we tell them the date that the next episode is coming, where you give them the next step on what to do with their answers.
With their uniqueness. So let me give the shortcut, okay? The shortcut to find your uniqueness, if you took all these six questions, we figured out this pattern after we started working with a couple thousand people. Is we realized over and over again, you are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. Your uniqueness lives at the intersection of who you've always been and who you feel called to become. So we're looking for those thematic overlaps in your life. So that is how we start to find somebody's true uniqueness and know what they're all about and who they are and who they should serve. Now, if you apply this specifically to real estate, let's just go down that path for a second. Okay, so we get into the super tactical. If I were in real estate and I was full-time, like this is what I was doing, the first thing that I would do is I would try to get clear on who is my who. I would start with who. Am I going after military families? Am I going after doctors? Am I going after educators? Am I going after investors? Am I going after first-time homebuyers? Am I going after flippers? Am I going after, you know, you guys have KW Land, you have all these different things. And I would try to get super narrow on my who. The next thing that I would do is I would constantly be asking, and by the way, I'll give you the secret to our whole content marketing strategy, is teach everything you know that is of value to your core target audience for free, but do it in small bite-sized chunks in all random miscellaneous order. So once I'm clear on my who, I go, okay, what is most valuable to these people? What are all the things they most need to know, right? If you just go look at my Instagram handle, right? I'm talking to mission-driven messengers and I'm teaching them about sales and speaking and lead generation and marketing and writing books and marketing automation and social media specifically to personal brands. And I'm giving away everything I know, but in small 60-second chunks. And they hang out there until they cross a threshold, like a buying line, but it's a series of buying lines. And the first buying line is, okay, I'm going to follow this guy. The second one is, all right, I think I'm going to opt in for this free training. Then is, oh, I'm going to watch this free training. Then it is, I'm going to request a call. This sounds right. Then we're going to do a call and we're going to see if we can really help you. And then they become a customer. And it's just that on autopilot. It's no different. I mean, that same pattern applies directly to real estate. So what would my content marketing strategy be? Here's what I think agents kind of do. I don't want to say wrong, but like I see a lot of agents, their social media is, here is everything I've just listed and here's everything I've just sold, which isn't wrong. That's not bad. The problem is, I'm only going to follow that person when I am actively looking to buy or sell a home. You are useless to me unless I'm in that stage, which means even if I like you, I'm going to show up for a minute, we're going to do a transaction or we're not, and then I'm going to bounce for 7 years or 10 years. What I would be doing if I were in real estate, I would be picking a person, I would be picking an area, and I would become the world's leading authority. The go-to person that is the mayor of the freaking town. And I would know everything going on in that town. I would know what restaurants are opening, who are the best dentists, what are the best schools, where do you go to church, where's the Bible studies, where's the book clubs, where's the fitness instructors, what's the gym, how much does it cost at the YMCA, where do kids eat free? My profile, it would be so valuable with information to people in that market that you could not ignore it. You would have to pay attention. whether you're buying or selling a home. And I'm the leading authority on that space. And so when someone says, yeah, I'm thinking about moving to Brentwood, Tennessee, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you got to follow Rory Vaden. Like, you know, this guy tells you everything about everything if you're thinking about moving here. And it would just be like, you have to. And here's the biggest mental block that people are struggling with on social media is everyone is so focused on the width of their reach that they are ignoring the depth of their impact. They are just trying to get millions of followers. And I'm telling you, you don't need millions of followers to make millions of dollars. It's way easier to make millions of dollars with a few targeted followers. If I have millions of followers from all across the country, I can't be the go-to expert on every town in America. But if I'm doing Brentwood, I can have 2,000 people following me who all live in Brentwood, and I am the freaking celebrity of Brentwood. Everywhere I go, people know me. They recognize me. I love your post. I love your podcast. We changed our kids' school because it did, I just told you about a friend. And I promise you, this is Sheehan's wall. You're breaking through the wall in a very narrow market, in a narrow sliver to a narrow audience, but you're going to go deep, not wide.
Everything you're saying makes so much sense to me, but a lot of it goes against the conventional wisdom, which is
totally.
I grade my life by followers and likes and views. And I hear what you're saying, which is not all views and not all likes and not all followers are created equal. If I'm clear enough on who I am, what I'm doing, and who I want to serve.
And who cares about how many followers you have? You don't change the lives so much of your followers. You change the lives of the people's houses you sell. I would rather have 1,000 followers and sell 100 homes a year than 1,000,000 followers and sell 2 homes a year.
How can people get more of this? How can they find you? If they want to come to the seminars, how do they get into your world?
I mean, the best thing to do would be go to freebrandcall.com/RV. Just freebrandcall.com/RV. You can request a call with our team. We do the first call for free with everybody, but we're a personal brand strategy coaching company, right? So we do one-on-one strategy work with people.
And I love that. And I'm just going to say it. By the way, I have real estate coaches and now officially have a branding coach. And I got to tell you, my world is expanding and it's in great part to your help, Rory. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's my pleasure, Jason. And I just...
Well, you don't get off that easy, my friend. You now have to join us in the lightning round. We're going to ask you a series of questions in fast succession. Want the first thing that comes to your mind. Rory, what is your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite food?
Enchiladas.
Stop the lightning round. Rory, we haven't had an enchilada call out.
Enchiladas, man.
What about an enchilada?
My mom's. It's really my mom's enchiladas, which are the jam.
See, you had to get more pointed in the answer. I love that. What's your favorite sound? What noise do you just love?
You know, I love the sound of like cutting a knife on a cutting board, like the tap, tap, tap of like progress, like tap, tap, tap.
I love that. You're very well read and you're an author, so it's always a tough question. What's a book that we should all have on our bookshelf? You got all real estate agents listening to this podcast, entrepreneurs from all industries.
I mean, the number one secret straight up for me is the Bible. That's the straight up truth. Like Jesus is my only strategy, like when it ultimately comes down. So that's the straight up truth. The book of James is my favorite book in the Bible. So that's it's a very short book. And you can read that. That's written by Jesus's brother, who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah when he was alive, but then later did after he saw his brother resurrected. So that's my favorite book. Separate of the Bible, man, there's so many.
Brother, you just leave it at that. You've named a pretty good book.
Sounds good.
And I think that's a full answer.
There you go.
Is there a podcast? I know you listen to a bunch of them, and it doesn't have to be this one just because everyone's waiting for you to say it. What's a podcast that you listen to, man? What's the voice in your head every now and then?
Ed Milet, Lewis Howes, Jenna Kutcher, Amy Porterfield, like those are go-tos. They're clients and affiliates.
Amy is so good.
Oh, Amy.
They're all so good. But Amy is a rare talent.
Oh, man. She gives away the goods. I mean, she gives away the goods. Yeah. She's digital marketing mastery. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you haven't listened, all those are great. Give Amy a listen. It's fantastic. Where's the best place to vacation?
Maldives is probably my favorite vacation, bungalow over the water. They have a restaurant that was on the ocean floor, which was pretty awesome. So I'll go with Maldives.
There it is. You heard him commit to coming back, which was fantastic. We will have a phase 2 and a round 2. In the meantime, Rory, give us that web address one more time if I want to get more info on brand.
Yeah, freebrandcall.com/RV. And just the last thing I would say is if you feel a calling on your heart to do this, it's the result of a signal that's being sent out by someone else who needs you. And that person needs you more than you need them. And focus on serving them, because there is no fear when the mission to serve is clear.
As good as it gets. My brother, Rory Vaden. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't know where to start. I don't know what to say. Do you know what to say? How do you like wind up this episode? This is our longest episode by minutes running since we launched the program, because I didn't want it to stop. As a matter of fact, during it, I made him promise to come back for another one. It was so good. And you know why it's good? Because the idea of brand means logo to so many people. And he literally started by telling you that's not what it is. So how do you pick out the one thing to close on? Well, I'm going to try. You know what he said that changed my entire life? He said that your influence will never grow wider than your character runs deep. Your influence will never grow wider than your character runs deep. Do you realize the impact of that statement? Can you allow yourself to just think about that for a minute? This is another way of saying that in order to be the person or the brand that I want to be, I actually have to show up and live that credo. Do you know how the world would look if everybody woke up with that mission in mind, to deepen their character by the exact same dimensions by which they widen their brand? That would be an amazing thing. He went on to say that results multiplied by reach equals reputation. Friends, that's a guiding principle. There are so many real estate agents that look around their office and say, wait a second, I'm very competent. I'm very good at this. I don't get many come list me phone calls. I don't get many help me buy phone calls. Why is that? You just identified it. Because if it isn't your results, said differently, your competency, then the only thing it can be in this equation is your reach. And you are not absolved from having to focus on reach. That's what he said. He said that both of those things multiplied equals reputation, which is how people think about you. I find both of those thoughts to be not just important, but absolutely paramount and foundational to the way that we think about our brands. I am starting to think about my brand that way. You know why you like this show? I tell you why. You like this show because you're a journey. You are journeying through life and you're educationally based and you are trying to grow as a person. Gary Keller says that the path of every successful business mirrors the personal growth of that business's founder slash operator. That's why you like this show. Because every time you listen, you deepen, did you hear that? You deepen your character because you expand the way that you think. And you can see a pattern running through almost every one of these episodes. All of these people in their own way have said, if you're going to be a good business person, it starts with being a good human. That's what he said. Friends, there is so much to think about here. Here's my advice. Go back and listen to this one again, because here's the deal. You either don't have the results or you don't have the reach. Either way, the reputation you want might be less than the reputation you have. Go forth. And do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think, so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders, but it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. Millionaireagentpodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any Do Not Call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.